Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. Before I launch today's exposition, I'd like to remind you about my new website, jimandrewsbooks.com. And there you will find Polishing God's Monuments, Pillars of Hope for Punishing Times, Dispatches from the Front Lines, The Glory and Grind of Pastoral Ministry, The Finality of Jesus Christ, Exploding the Many Roads to God Myth, finally, Marriage Without Remorse, Rules for the Road. That's jimandrewsbooks.com. We continue our latest series, which in this case, and in a rare case, is topical, simply because some subject matters have to be treated that way. We are talking about marriage without remorse. Bring your B game. B as in B-E. The subtitle of this one is Be Smart. Dear friends, being happily married requires a great deal of social wisdom. Marriages can get away from us the same way games sometimes get away from our favorite sports teams. All play to win, or at least most do, but some don't play smart. In marriage, as in sports, good intentions are often defeated by bad execution. Wisdom, I remind you, is the intelligent application of knowledge to practical situations. From God's Word, we glean a generous amount of both knowledge and wisdom with respect to all of life, but also, in particular, to married life. When it comes to eternal things, divine wisdom is able to make us what one might call soul, S-O-U-L, soul-wise. That wisdom leads us to salvation in Christ. When it comes to temporal things, God's Word is able to make us what we might call street-wise. If we heed it, the Spirit working through the Word will equip us to run the gauntlet of pains and perils in this sinful world and make the best of the circumstances that God in His providence hands us. Knowing God, walking with God, talking with God, and listening to His Spirit, speaking through the Word, plus time and experience in life situations, all these combine to make us streetwise when it comes to social life in general, and marriage in particular. Look, if our marriages are to flourish, we need to be smart in that sense. I want to discuss with you some of the areas where, if we were smarter, our marriages would not be as bumpy a ride as some so unnecessarily are. First of all, talking in terms of be smart, let me say be realistic. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says, "The naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps." The naive is a childish optimist who never gives a minute's thought to the improbabilities, but charges blindly ahead only to be crushed by the realities. Prudent people are persons who weigh things out. They ponder all the possibilities before they leap. When I say be realistic, under the heading of being smart, I first of all mean realistic as opposed to being romantic or idealistic. Idealists are forever doomed to chronic disappointment. For example, if you're dreaming of a white Christmas and have a lot invested in that romance, an otherwise nice Christmas will probably turn out to be a bummer for you. Another example, if the pleasure of a family outing, say to the Oregon coast where we live, hinges on a beautiful sun-swept day, your chances of fulfillment there are considerably less than 50-50 most times of the year. If there is any wind at all, no matter how glorious the sunshine and balmy the weather, I can probably forget a romantic stroll along the beach holding the hand of my wife. Why? Well, she's one of those who hates wind in her hair worse than a dog hates fleas. Imagine me going out and buying a zippy little comfortable sports car, thinking how much fun that would be for us to hit the road with the top down. Boy, that would be a letdown. Aussie would have a migraine in 5 minutes with her hair blowing in the wind. We have some dear friends who live in another city. She is an arch romantic. Her husband is anti-romantic, great guy, but just not the romantic type. He's like a bee who in 5 lifetimes would never see anything in a flower but its nectar. One time she talked him into a huge remodeling project that included building a beautiful elevated kitchen-level patio. All this with the romantic idea of the family eating a continental breakfast out there together on warm mornings. To my knowledge, that never happened one time, to her great disappointment. Her family was like a bunch of Energizer bunnies who were always up and in motion, scampering hither and thither. There was no way anybody was ever going to get them to slow down in the morning to gather on the patio for a little breakfast togetherness. The picture she had in her head was romantic, but it was not realistic in terms of their family life and their family chemistry. Fortunately, the fact that it didn't work out that way, the way she envisioned, only disappointed her, although it wasted a lot of her husband's time and their money on that little romantic dream. But it did not disillusion her, thank God. But that can happen when one is always thinking romantically rather than realistically. So in marriage, part of the equation of marriage without regret is be smart, and being smart begins with being realistic. One reason there is so much depression among people around the holidays is that reality always disappoints the romance. Things are never quite like they were presented on Christmas, at least in most cases. There is quite often more family confusion than joy, more stress than peace and goodwill. The bottom line is that in marriage, we must always shape our expectations to the way things are, not the way we wish they were. I would also add, shape our expectations to the way people are, namely your husband and your kids, rather than the way you want them to be. That way you'll experience a lot less frustration. For example, I think of my oldest daughter and her husband being realistic relatively to being on time. The more Christy crafts her plans and keys her tight schedule to the premise that John will be on time, the more certain it is that she will be madder than a wet hen when he arrives. Being realistic in her case says that Lombardi time is Alice in Wonderland. She must gear everything to Dotson time, which is like sunshine in Oregon. Rarely, as soon as you would like, but it always shows up. John is never in a panic, seldom in a hurry, and rarely on time. That is reality in the Dotson household. And being reasonable and realistic in that home means adjusting expectations to local reality. Another illustration of being real as a part of the equation of being smart in our marriage. One time we went to Williamsburg, Virginia on a hot summer day, and we had to stand in long, long, sweaty lines to see everything. It took us almost 2 hours to get into the Patrick Henry Governor's Mansion. Had it been up to me, I wouldn't have waited that long to see Patrick Henry resurrected. Just a good reminder that before you plan these things, it's wise to weigh the circumstances against the tendencies of the people involved. The second thing I mean by realistic is be realistic in the sense that you expect your spouse to be fully human, not more perfect than they can be or more perfect than you expect yourself to be. Jesus taught us, take the log out of your own eye before you insist that other people get the speck out of theirs. So, if you want your husband or your wife to watch their pennies and spend prudently, then you do the same. Be realistic. If you want her to restrain her spending, then you restrain yours. Be realistic. They have a right to be fully human, too. If you want her to lose weight and to be fit, then, mister, maybe you should do the same. If you want her to correct all her faults, then, hey, be realistic. Why don't you correct all yours? If you cut yourself some slack, why don't you cut her some? Be realistic. If your wife has some habits that annoy you, Did it ever occur to you that you may have some habits that annoy the heck out of her? Are you put off by the fact that your wife can never get herself and the kids ready on time? Well, maybe she has reason to be put off by the fact that you do little to help her and make messes that you leave for her to clean up. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So be smart in marriage. If you want marriage without regret, be smart, and that begins with being realistic. The naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. He's not just a childish optimist who never gives thought to the improbabilities, but charges blindly ahead only to be crushed by the realities. Prudent people weigh things. They ponder the possibilities, and they look before they leap. They're realistic as opposed to being romantic or idealistic, and they're realistic in the sense that they expect their spouse to be fully human, not more perfect than they can be, and no more perfect than you expect yourself to be. There's a third thing I mean by being realistic. Be realistic, as opposed to trying to always have your cake and eating it too. That is, in trying to have it both ways. For example, you can't expect your wife to work 8 to 5 and come home and to be a full-service wife and mother. Get a life. That's not realistic. You can't expect your husband to be a generous provider and afford you life on the lake with 3 cars, 2 houses, and a boat, and then complain if he doesn't report home promptly at 5 or 6 every evening like a factory worker. Another example, you can't expect your man to remodel the house and impose on you no inconvenience and keep the place tidy at the same time. I knew a gal once who wanted a pack rat hubby to clean up their garbage. But every time the guy set about to clean it up, she got all over his case because he was spending too much time outside rather than inside with her. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Her explanation, he shouldn't have created all that mess in the first place. But you can't punish someone for spilt milk forever. Just clean it up and get on with it. Now, we said that marriage without regret requires this, be smart. The first step in being smart is to be realistic. Realistic as opposed to being romantic or idealistic. Realistic in the sense that you don't expect your spouse to be more perfect than they can be or more perfect than you yourself are going to be. In other words, you've got to allow them to be fully human. And you've got to be realistic in the sense of trying to have your cake and eating it too, trying to have it both ways. Secondly, to be smart in marriage means to be gender-wise. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says this, and it's a social principle. It's not a marital principle, but it's a social principle that has its application to all of our relationships and marriage. Let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor, or we might say, that of his wife. In marriage, we must not take the approach that we will express to our spouse our love and loyalty in the way that pleases us. The smart, the wise approach is to express it in the language that most pleases her or him. Be gender-wise. Here we have to be prudent. As much as we are alike, male and female, in some ways we tend to be quite different. I don't mean to suggest that all men and women fit into this box. A stereotype simply means a strong pattern. The gender tendencies that I'm about to elucidate are fairly regular. What the average man covets is respect. The average man needs that more than affection. Naturally, he wants both. But if a wife does not show her husband, if she's not gender-wise, if she does not show her husband respect, what she usually gets in return, depending on his personality composition, is either a passive-aggressive man or an abusive man like a drunk who thinks his wife and family are looking down on him while he's looking down on himself, or an unfaithful man, or fourthly, an indifferent man, or fifth, some combination of all of the above. Now, if you find your husband hard to respect, ask yourself this. Is it possible that it is because you have never shown him proper respect? Listen, no man, ladies, ever became a better man under the lash of female disrespect. I want to say that again. Hey, I don't mean when I repeat these things that these are the profoundest statements ever made. They're just very important. They may be simple as heck, but they're so important. No man ever became a better man under the lash of female disrespect. Consider that. You've got to be gender-wise. You've got to understand men to a certain level. It is painful for any man not to be respected by his male peers. But I'll tell you what's more humiliating. It is for a man not to be respected by women, and most especially his wife. I often tell people when I'm doing marital counseling and that kind of thing, using our own marriage as an example in some cases. My wife and I, we've had our disagreements, we've had our fights, our blow-ups like everybody else. But you want to know something? I can't remember a day in better than 50 years of marriage when I have not walked in my home, been around my wife, that I did not feel respected. I may not have been agreed with about something, but she has never communicated to me that she doesn't respect me. And that has gone a long way with me, and it'll go a long way with the normal man. Now, I say to be smart, you've got to be gender-wise. Just as men need respect. Men, let me tell you something about women. A wife needs tenderness and affection. I'm not saying that's all she needs, but she certainly needs that. Many men fail to understand, don't even want to believe, that a woman could live. Many could. I'm not saying all could, but many could live without sex. What they don't want to live without is tender, caressing, and loving affection. That goes as far with them as respect does with men. I'm saying the average woman, based upon what I've learned in her. Do you ever wonder how a guy ever wound up with a woman like that? Well, there could be a lot of reasons why she did not pick one of the hunks she may have been attracted to in her early life. But let me tell you something about the typical male hunk. The typical male hunk is a narcissist to the bone, and has a lot more muscles around his head than his heart. He just wanted to prance around all oiled up and look at himself in the mirror. A ripped body might be attractive to some women, but the best of their kind, in the final analysis, will take a good heart who knows how to treat them with kindness and affection. You got to be gender-wise. You've got to understand what's important to a man, and men, you have to understand what's important to your wife. You can't sit around and decide for yourself what you think ought to make her happy. You've got to figure out what makes the typical woman happy. And I can't figure out why so many are so dumb about those simplicities. Again, if you want to be married without regret, you got to be smart. We've told you so far what it means to be smart. Thirdly, it means to be honest. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, we could say spouse, for we are members of one another in union with Christ is the idea. What does it mean to be honest? Well, obviously it means to be truthful, first of all. Being false with one another is as detrimental as my right foot deceiving my left foot about what it's going to do next. I may fall and hurt myself. Proverbs says, he who speaks lies is treacherous. Now, if that sounds like tautology, a case where the predicate does not advance the information contained in the subject, but is just redundant, it isn't. It is telling us that the habit of telling lies is never benign. Such persons are treacherous when it is expedient for them to be so. In short, the habit of lying betrays a capacity for treachery. So, if you want marriage without regret, you've got to learn to be honest. Always tell the truth and nourish trust. A person who tells the truth can never be caught in a lie. A person who always tells the truth never has to worry about remembering what they said. Sometimes we do have to worry in life about others remembering what they think we said, but we never have to worry about what we know we said. What a great reputation to have with your spouse when they know you insist on telling the truth even when it hurts. What a compliment for a wife to say, well, I'll tell you one thing about John. He won't lie to you. Or a fellow to say about his wife, I'll tell you one thing about Mary Doe, she won't lie to you. You can depend upon what she tells you. Never tell a so-called white lie to avoid confrontation or the ire of your spouse. If we will tell a so-called white lie, the so-called harmless lie, when the stakes are higher, we may tell a black one. If I know you lied to me once, I know you will lie to me again. And when I most need to trust you, that thought will get in the way. Lying is never harmless. It harms the one who lies because it sows the seed of a vicious habit, and when discovered, it sows the seeds of mistrust and disrespect. And it harms the one lied to because it misleads them, and it might cause them to act on bad information, and because it injures the trust, which in relationships is a very precious commodity. How disappointing it is to discover that someone very close to you deliberately misrepresented the truth. especially so if it's a wife or husband, it's hard to feel as close and trusting as before. Trust is money in the marital bank, so don't waste it in a cheap way out of a small threat. Be truthful. You want to be married without regret? Be smart. What all does that entail? Well, we've been talking about that. We said be realistic and explained what we meant by that. We've said be gender-wise and what we meant by that. Now we're saying to be smart means to be honest. And what does it mean to be honest? Well, the obvious, first of all, is be truthful. But there's something else we mean by being honest. We mean be real. What do you mean by that, Jim? Well, I mean something that's easy, and yet it's not so easy. For some, it's easier than others. But I mean lose those insecurities. Don't be a fake. Drop the posturing and the pretense. Stop the social games. You know, many a pastor has lost the respect of his children. Why? Because he feels he and his family must maintain an image of spotless perfection. They don't, but they think they do. So he demands that the family play the game of the perfect family. And eventually, when those kids especially get older, they just hate it. And that's why, in some cases, they rebel. Many a person has to pretend that they're somebody when they are nobody. They are rich when really they're drowning in paper. So they pad resumes. They sport big cars. They live in bigger houses than they can afford, and they spend like Croesus to keep up the front, until one day reality catches up with them and the whole facade is exposed for what it was, a pretense. I know a woman who's never published an article, never authored a book, but she lets all comers know she is a writer, which she is not. She wishes she were, but she's not. She will come late to functions or leave early, announcing to everyone that she's a writer and you know how it is, I've got projects waiting on me, making her late or causing her to need to leave early. To my knowledge, she has never penned a single thing, at least nothing of any substance. Other people and their insecurities drop names. They're careful to give everyone, even their wives or their husbands, in earshot, the impression that they're intimates, perhaps, of the rich and famous. I had a professor in seminary who, I don't know how he was with his wife and his family, but I know how he was with his student. He was a very fine professor, and if I were to mention his name, many of you would probably recognize it. Many of you, I'm sure, wouldn't. But in any case, it makes no difference. The point is, he was constantly dropping names, and it, to any who had any discernment, it got old. Be honest. Be real. That's what we mean. Don't make yourself out to be something you're not. And don't enlist your family in the con. That will put great strain on a marriage and upon a family. What a compliment when those who know you best can tell others who wonder what you're really like at home can say, he's the real deal, or she's the same person. Now that is a great compliment. I have a friend who is a pastor in a very large church in the South. Some of our staff attended a conference down there with Robert, and they were busing people back and forth from lots. It's a large church campus where they were then located, and his son-in-law was driving one of the buses. One of the attendees at the conference popped up and asked his son-in-law, what's Robert really like? And the son-in-law, without hesitation, said, well, he's the real deal. And that was a high compliment. So be honest, not only telling the truth, but honesty means losing those insecurities and just being who you are, not being fake, not being a phony around the family, around the wife or around the husband or around the kids and not forcing them to be phonies, but just being, you know, real people. That's terrific. Any other kind of habit will put real strain on the marriage. We have more that we would like to say about that subject, but that's as much as we're going to be able to give you under that heading. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.